is your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer, shot, score!
You are now listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGalley. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McGalley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge, the final Inside Edge of this 2016-2017 Blue Jacket season. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. And see, we don't check the headphones anymore. We just show up and Jody can't hear anything, which actually, I can't believe he hasn't realized by now. If he can't hear me, that is the best thing that could happen.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you. And well, let's just bring the guest in since he's, I think he can hear us. Ladies and gentlemen, Boone Jenner joins us here tonight. You got us?
Yep.
We're all good?
Yep.
All right. See that? You're the only one.
I think my batteries are dead.
I didn't even check them.
Well, that's all right.
I mean, last show of the season.
That's okay. You had it in the bag for 2 weeks.
Charged.
And, you know? This is my surprise face. No, I'm just kidding. Blue Jackets getting eliminated from postseason play last week by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs actually going to begin tonight with the Western Conference teams squaring off. But Boone, it was such a great season, and that's the thing that people can't forget. It was disappointing what happened to you in the playoffs, going five games. John Tortorella went way out of his way to say that should have been more than a five-game series. It felt like you guys were in every game, but now that it's over, you've had a couple days to reflect on it. How special was this year for you?
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of disappointing right away, and you're kind of in shock that the season just comes to an end like that. But I guess looking back, I think we took a lot of strides this year, and obviously, you know, a lot of areas of the game. And I think to be a top team in the National League, you know, it was something to be proud of during the regular season. And, you know, the streak we went on was pretty special. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that we can take out of this season and build for the future.
Not many teams go from being 27th overall to really fourth overall in the point standings when the regular season comes to an end. And as you said, that was the strides. And we're going to hear from Jarmo Kekäläinen a little bit later on in this show. But from your standpoint as a player, and as a player that's now been here for a while, and you've gone through the ups and downs with this franchise for the last couple of years, how much do you appreciate how patient they were with you as a group at the end of last year, that they didn't make huge changes? The changes they made were basically from within, and they let the guys that were here in the past and the guys that had subpar seasons last year kind of work through it and come back and bounce back this year.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to that belief. I think, you know, like you said, finishing in the bottom of the league last year and coming into this season, it was, you know, not a lot of people were keeping an eye out for us. And I think we had a lot to prove that way as players and as a team, obviously. So I think, you know, once we started raising a couple of eyebrows, you know, you could see teams take notice, obviously. But I think that's going to be, you know, changing going through the into the future. Obviously, I think that's why when it gets harder is when, you know, the other teams know you're going to be a good team and you're not surprising people anymore that way.
But when you guys play to an identity where, I mean, it's shift after shift, everybody goes out and works hard, and it's hard to play against. And you guys did that a couple of years ago at the end of the year, and teams really got a lot of respect for this team and this organization. So I'm going back to last offseason and coming into training camp. What was the mindset? Because you've been here now. This is your fourth season with the Blue Jackets. What was different for you? Like, was there something you noticed or anything you felt maybe coming into camp or maybe the first part of the season where you thought, yes, this is different, this is going to be good?
Yeah, I think just the preparation. I think when guys started showing up for camp and we knew it was going to be a really competitive camp and we had the Torch camp coming up and all that, I think that really set a standard and the preparation was there. You know, we go into the season, we lose our first two games. It was absolutely, you know, no panic, no jumping anything. It was just, you know, sticking with it. And obviously, I think we just worked ourselves, you know, into a good hockey team.
Yeah, you did. I have a question, too, about Torts. Because how many times do people ask you about Torts? Like, pull you aside, like a buddy or a guy in the league or a coach or a media guy.
hey, how is Torts? How is it to play for Torts? Like, what's he like? Is he that bad?
Yeah, there's everyone is always asking you.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like,
I thought you were gonna say, what's the answer?
Is it different than what you? Yeah, I know your answer, I think, but is it different than what? I mean, it's obviously different than what people think, right? That's the wonderful thing about Torts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, it's you can't. I think that perception, is a little bit off for sure.
Yeah, he demands a lot, but he's pretty fair. And you have to give him some credit about kind of raising the standard. And you mentioned the Torts camp. You kind of feel like this organization needed that kind of structure to take the next step, didn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said, right from camp, right from the get-go, it was, kind of a business-like attitude like that and come to the rink to work and put your work in. And I thought that's what really built us as a team early on.
Speaking of John Tortorella, he is a finalist for the Jack Adams Award.
Oh, look at you.
Breaking news.
I didn't know that.
John Tortorella, Mike Babcock, and Todd McClellan are the three finalists.
Three great finalists.
You're right. Three great finalists and three guys that really got a lot out of their young teams this year.
Amazing, right? Edmonton, that story amazes me. I don't know about you, Boone, but you look at Edmonton, Toronto. I mean, you grew up in Ontario. Isn't it amazing to see what these teams have done and how great it is for the league?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of funny that, all three of those teams are really young, and that's pretty good.
You know, you talk about Tortorella's camp, but again, you know, you're not an old guy, but you've been here through different regimes, different coaches. So this has been talked about for a long time, changing the culture. What did John Tortorella do differently that it was able to – then he made it happen. I mean, how much of it was what he did? How much of it was maybe some of the young guys that came in with their experiences? What kind of helped you guys turn the corner?
Yeah, it's tough to say one thing, but I think Torts is really good at that. That's something that, he brings out the best in you and, trying to read a team and get a grasp of a team and what it needs at the right time. I think that's what he's really good at. And I think just right from the get-go, him and just getting us to buy in, obviously, I think everyone bought in. And obviously when you get that and you get 20 guys pulling in the right direction, in the same direction, you're going to get the results. So I think that's, what he's good at and he strives for us.
Boone, I know you're a team guy, but how was this season for you on the ice?
Oh, I felt, it was a good season. I think, early on it was, a little bit struggles, especially offensively and whatnot, but I thought, throughout the season, I just kept getting better, and after the All-Star break, I think that really helped me, those few days off, and I just felt better throughout the rest of the year and into the playoffs.
Yeah, and you're a guy that brings it every single shift. Did you know it was going to come? I mean, did you kind of feel like, I mean, was it frustrating, but at the same time, did you have someone in the room or someone outside the room say, hey, just stay with this, Boone, it's going to come?
Yeah, for sure. I think guys with the experience and stuff that have been through that, kind of just talk to you a little bit. And I think personally, I knew it was going to come as long as the rest of my game was there. It's something that if I play the right way, I can. I guess the results come off that and whatnot. So I don't think I was too worried. Obviously, you want to at times chip in that way and offensively and stuff like that. So yeah.
You weren't the only guy that was in that situation, too. You play a lot with Brandon Dubinsky, and there were times where the same thing was happening. You guys are out there working your tails off, doing what you always do, and the puck just wouldn't find the back of the net. Did you guys, playing on the same line, ever have those conversations, too, about just, hey, stay with it, we both know it's going to come?
Yeah, and Dubinsky's one of those guys, that was talking to me. I think he just said, just stay with it kind of thing. And obviously, like you said, he was, the points weren't there, I guess, for him at the start of the season. But you could see down the stretch, he was great for us. So, we knew we had to help each other out. And for a lot of it, we were on the same line. And that's the only way to really get out of it.
We're speaking with Boone Jenner, left wing, right wing, and center for the Columbus Blue Jackets this season.
That's right.
Boone, I wanted to ask you about, spoke about young guys around the league. How about the young guys in your locker room? I mean, we get to see Zach Werenski on the ice, Nudavara, Sedlak, Josh Anderson. But how about for you in the room as a leader and as a guy who's been here? What's it like when those guys walk in and have that impact? Are you really impressed, really excited? what is it to be? What is it with these young guys?
Yeah, I think it's both. Obviously, I think I'm, you know, very impressed with them. You know, they're also mature and can handle so much at a young age, and obviously their play says a lot of the talking for them. I mean, just, you know, for instance, Wierenski and his poise and whatnot on the ice, it's incredible. It looks like he's been in the league for 10 years, the way he's just handles himself on and off the ice, and we got other guys like that as well, and you know, getting Nudy in and Sedzi and these guys that, you know, came up through the draft and in development camps, and then, you know, you kind of get to know them there, and then to get them to know them on the team, it's different, and it's obviously, it's great to see.
When they came in, of course you guys knew that they had won in Cleveland last year, but let's use Wierenski as a prime example, because he just comes in from college, you hear about him, but it's not like you'd really spent a lot of time developing camps or training camps with him like some of the other guys there. Just to watch him, once you saw what he did in the NHL, not just in training camp, but then the game start, and you watch him go up against some of the best guys in the league, how much admiration was there from you? You're sitting on the bench, and you got to be locked into the game, but at the same time, how many times did you go, holy cow, I can't believe he just did that to that guy?
Yeah, quite a few, I think.
Good, because we saw it too.
Yeah.
Right?
We'd go to commercial break and go, are you serious? Did he really do that?
Yeah. Trust me, that happens quite a bit. You know, even in practice, you're standing in line in practice and you see him just rip one, and it's like, holy, you know. So, yeah, it happens all the time with all the young guys, and yeah, for sure.
What about Gabriel Karlsson, who comes in out of nowhere? And ends up playing, you know, what, two games in the regular season, and then plays in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He was in Europe like a week and a half before, and he comes over, and he's able. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure he made some mistakes here and there in that series, but they weren't glaring enough mistakes, obviously, to take him out of the lineup. And, again, as a guy that's in that room, and you know how good it was this year, and you know you're going to have to play even better next year to get back to the playoffs and then to win playoff rounds, what does that mean to you when you see a guy like that come in, which is really, to me, has got to be like the surprise of the year, this guy?
Yeah, for sure. I knew the name. I seen him at a couple development camps, but I didn't know too much about him otherwise. And, you know, like you said, he was playing in Sweden, came over here. We met him once, and he went down to Cleveland. And before you knew it, a couple days later, he's back up with us and playing a game. And we're just telling him, you know, it's the best way to do it. Just don't even think about it. It's just a whirlwind. You know, you play your first AHL game right into your first NHL game, right into your first NHL playoff game. So where you just, you know, said to enjoy it. And obviously he played really well.
Yeah, that 87, he's just a regular guy. Don't worry about that. 71, he's good. Don't worry about him.
Do you think it's sunken in yet for him?
I don't think he
knew what was going on. Just like, go put your gear on, get out there. Oh, and his attitude was amazing. He's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, maybe when he gets back to Sweden this summer.
Yeah.
You're like, did I do that? Did that happen
right, well,
to me?
It's kind of what happens at the end of your career.
but I like how you said that, Boone, though. It's a baptism by fire, right? And you guys are just there in support, but as long as he's doing his job, he's just one of the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to, you know, obviously get him involved in the team right away. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of changes for him, let alone a new continent to come over to. And, you know, different language. I mean, he was, you know, a little shocked probably, but he fit in great, and he played well. And like you said, he was just calm off the ice. He wasn't, he's a great kid.
What was your line? You had a great line there. He's barely used to North American food, let alone playing North American
hockey.
That's
true. I mean, you think about all the different things he's got to get used to, the size of the ice. But what a great kid. I mean, it really speaks to kind of what this future holds for this organization. Boone, I want to ask you about playoffs because it was too quick. We know that. It was fun. Game three was a heartbreaker, kind of an emotional roller coaster there. What is your feeling with that whole thing? And I mean, it was so exciting. It's crazy, right? Because you're so excited to get in. You're so excited for game one. You prepare so much. And then 8 days later, it's over. So when you look at that, how do you feel about this series and what went on?
Yeah, it's tough, obviously. The next few days after you're out, it doesn't really feel like it. You know, it's I don't know how to describe it, but you're just so involved in the game and you're just playing every other day, and then it just kind of comes to an end like that. It's just you start really thinking back on it, and you know, because you don't want it to end, obviously. And it's, you know, it's the best hockey. There's no question about it. It's so emotional. It's so energetic. It's definitely the best hockey you can play. And, you know, to be able for some of us to get in there in the playoffs and get that, obviously we would like to, you know, keep it going, keep a longer series or a longer playoff run. But, yeah.
Yeah. And they say adversity is one thing that makes you better. And so does great competition, the best competition. And you had both in the matter of 10 days. And how do you make sure, or maybe the better question is, do you get a sense that your young group, like Seth and you and Murray, I look at you guys that are the young core, really are motivated walking away and saying, man, we're ticked off, but you know what? We've got more to prove, and it's an exciting spot to be for us.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, you got to take the good, obviously, but you can't sit back at all, I don't think. At this point, the league is so good. Anybody, you know, you see the teams that are going and winning, and some of the good teams that are out. It's such a fine line, and to be able to be on a good side of that team, you use a lot of preparation, I think, and I think that's when it starts for us. You know, he's taking that pain from this year and obviously driving it, using that to drive us next year.
When you look back at the season, do you have anything that jumps out at you as your favorite moment or your favorite span or whatever it is?
I would just say playoffs, just because, you know, the atmosphere and Nationwide there and playing in the playoffs. But probably the 16-game win streak.
And that's why I was asking, because I wanted to see where that went with you. And because it's really, when you break it back, that's what this season's going to be remembered for, because you have the second longest winning streak in the history of the National Hockey League. So we're still raw to the pain of the playoffs not lasting as long as you wanted to. But that was pretty special. Is it? I would imagine as a player, that's something that maybe someday you look back and you go, man, that was so cool I was a part of that.
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of happening now. Looking back on that, it is quite an accomplishment. And when you're going through it, you're not really soaking it in until, you know, the last couple of days. You're like, we're at 15, 16.
When you see Barry Melrose in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Covering the game. Like,
20 cameras.
This is a big deal. Yeah. Barry Melrose.
Yeah. It's like you get up to 15 and then, boom, that's everything everybody talks about. So, but when we're going through it, we're just enjoying ourselves playing hockey, and obviously you got to get a lot of bounces, and Bob was great. So, yeah, it was fun.
Did you guys even talk about the fact that you went through the entire month of December and never lost a game? Because we're getting there before New Year's, and we're going, wait a minute, what? It's no, there yeah, wasn't
we,
any.
Right? We were talking like torts too. We were like one day at
yeah,
a time.
He
like
had his brain. He had his brainwashed. We were locked into
but
it.
It was
right?
So great, and it,
but
you
it
guys
worked.
Really took
absolutely.
A hold of that.
Yeah, no, we were looking at the span right before Christmas. I remember that, and just collecting as many points as we could before then. And we went out west in Canada and swept that trip, and then we just kept it going after the break, and it was fun.
In the Minnesota game, I guess if you had to single out one regular season game, and you can go back and say whether it was meaningful or meaningless, but that was so exciting to be at that game. New Year's Eve in Minnesota.
It was a real
14-game win streak, 12-game win streak. How fun was it to play?
Yeah, that's a great place to play, too, in Minnesota. The crowd was crazy. It was definitely the loudest building at that point in the year to play in front of. Playoff-like atmosphere for sure, and it was fun. We didn't want our streak to end, and they didn't want theirs, so it was a good game.
We got a sense out of your locker room that you guys honestly felt, and there was no challenge too big for you guys. There was a confidence coming out of your room, not just during that, but before that, where you guys had really come together, and I think that really displayed it. Did you get that sense going into the games? Like, man, I mean, we're just, I don't know if we're going to lose.
Yeah, I think it comes from, you know, I think we had a chip on our shoulder kind of, you know, all season. And maybe it stemmed from last year, you know, not being a successful year for us. And we knew we had a lot better. So we just wanted to prove, you know, have that chip on our shoulder. And I think that's just, you know, why not, you know, get greedy, just keep winning games. We're not going to sit back. Let's just, you know, we're a good hockey team. Let's keep going.
And one more thing, Bob, before you, are you going to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Go ahead. One more thing.
See, he's taking this show over. See,
no, I have a question. We never have guests in here.
That's true. You're right.
Did you guys learn how to win during that streak? And what I mean is, you know, you don't want to lose. So wait, do you not stay out late for a dinner? Do you not, you know, you don't want to jeopardize the team. So did you guys learn, like, in game 10 in a row, 11 in a row, like, because I saw a couple guys and I was really impressed with their focus on just, no, I have to, you know, I have to prepare and be ready for tomorrow because we don't want to lose again. And did you get the sense you guys learned something in that, how to win?
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. I think there's that aspect of it is you know, doing the same thing and trying to get yourself ready. I think that's when the focus is there. And the other aspect of just winning in different ways. I mean, you know, a couple games we had to come back and win, and a couple were up by a couple goals going in the third. Maybe they score a few, but we come back and get a late one, or winning a shootout, winning overtime, holding a lead, coming back from a lead. I think that's where you could take most of that is learning how to win and play in those situations that I think would help us, you know, later on in the season.
What's up for you now? Obviously,
good question.
Kind of hanging around town a little bit. When will you go back home to Canada? Come back? What do you set up a summer schedule now, or you just have it little pieces of it and then you go from there?
No, I try to set it up now.
One day
at a
time,
for the most part.
Yeah, right.
I wish I could do that, but yeah,
live that all summer too.
Try to set up a schedule, and obviously, you kind of go home for a bit. You know, I'll probably head home this weekend and relax and.
You got to work on the farm when you go home, or they?
I try to help my dad out once in a while. Yeah.
Like what? What do you got to do? You gonna bale hay?
Yeah.
Cattle.
Whatever. Yeah, we got the beef cows, so just help them out with that.
You missed the branding? Did that already happen? Or
yeah, no, we don't do that there.
Oh, you don't
but,
do that.
Yeah.
Well, you tag them.
Tag them. Yep. Yeah.
That's a good. Isn't that kind of a good thing to go back and do that, even if it's a couple of days? It's always important to remember where you came from, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I like spending time out there. All my friends are still back there and a lot of my family, so it's always great to go back.
What time does he get you up?
I don't know.
Does he let you sleep in?
Sometimes. Depends on the day.
So he'll get up at like 5? Like?
Yeah, no, he's always up early. I mean, he's up the whole day, it seems like to me, so... sometimes he lets me sleep, sometimes not.
That's
pretty
great.
Much. Depends on the day.
I would love to know what goes into that decision from your dad, because I know being a dad, there are some days I go, oh, he's getting
Saturday morning.
He is
Sunday morning
today.
For sure.
Right.
Oh, wait, Sunday you have off, right? So Saturday morning for sure.
Boone, thank you so much for coming in and being with us. Right. It is always a pleasure to watch you play, and I mean that because you're the same guy night in and night out. And it's always hard working, and we appreciate it a lot. So thanks for coming in,
Thank
and congratulations
guys.
On a good year.
Thank
Enjoy
you
your summer.
Appreciate it. You
All
too.
Right. That is Boone Jenner, Blue Jackets forward. Coming up next, Jody and I are going to talk with General Manager Jarmo Kekäläinen as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan.
Jarmo, done much earlier than you had hoped. I understand that. But go back a year ago, where you were then, where you are now. How pleased are you with how much ground you were able to make up in such a short period of time?
Well, I think a year ago when we sat here, we thought that we had taken a step back. And right now, I think that we can all feel, despite the results in the playoffs, that we took two steps forward, maybe three, as an organization, as a team. A lot of our elements to our team are young, and they're going to get better. So I feel strongly about this being, again, a great learning experience for our group and our team, and we'll be better next year.
I talked to you about this during the course of the year, but I give you a lot of credit because I don't know how you stay so patient. I mean, finishing 27th, and there was the real, you know, if you would have gone in, it would have made a lot of changes. People would have said, yeah, you got to make a lot of changes finishing that low. You were very patient. You didn't. You wrote it off to injuries, to guys that just had off years, and knowing that there were young guys coming. How tough is it to do in that situation when you're sitting there in that moment finishing where you did last year?
Well, we try to kind of emotionally detach ourselves from the situations that we faced last year, but at the same time we spend every day with these guys, evaluating them through practices, through testing, through training camp, through games, and it goes well beyond that too. Some of these players we've known since they were 17 years old, before they were drafted, seeing what got them drafted and then beyond and develop. You can't just throw it away because we had 8 bad games last year to start the season and kind of put ourselves behind the 8-ball there and had a season that definitely wasn't something we had planned for. Everyone on our team and even around the team with the experts thought that we'd be pretty good a year ago, and we weren't, but we learned from it. We came into this year and we were a better team, and we showed everybody that We probably should have had a lot more success a year ago. We got 50 wins this year. We got 108 points and went out in five games, which is definitely something that we're going to think about all summer. And hopefully that's enough to add to the hunger of players on the individual level. And then as a team, that we're going into next year earning a spot in the playoffs again, and we'll be way better when the crunch time comes. And obviously we need to be at our best when it counts the most, which is the playoffs.
You talk about the players taking a step, and this organization took a step this year. How do you keep tracking that way? I mean, do you ask the veterans in their exit meetings to bring the level up, or are you expecting the young guys again to push into this organization?
Well, yeah, we've just gone through that process with the players and coaches and trainers and all of our staff to see what they thought of the year, both on individual level and as a team, and what are the areas of improvement, what we can do, what they can do to make this group better. And, you know, we're going to digest all that and put that into our summer off-season planning in the next days and weeks. We still have a lot of work to do as far as evaluating our prospects. I'm going tomorrow to see Pierre-Luc Dubois play two games. Basil's going out west to see Kolasar and Turkoff play against each other in the playoffs. A lot of things to digest, but I think it's a combination of those things. I truly believe that we have a lot of veterans that still at the age of 30 or over or above think that they can get better. And there's no reason to think not to think that way. I think as long as you keep playing hockey, you have to think that you can keep getting better. No matter what age you are, no matter what your experience level is, I think you get stale if you think that, okay, well, I can't get any better anymore. It's probably time to hang them up. But we also have a lot of young guys that are not even close to being in their prime. I mean, just imagine the level where Zach Werenski and Seth Jones can get with their improvement where they are now, and there's a few levels that they can still get up to. We have a lot of guys who've gone through so much in their career, and they're only, you know, 23, 24 years old. Brandon Saad's already got two cups and played in the league what seems like forever, and he's very young. So he's going to be 24 years old this year. So there's a lot of different things that go into the planning and what we think we can get to on individual level, and then what will that amount to as a team. But I'm really excited about the potential of our team, of our group. You know, you saw Gabriel Carlson step into the lineup in the playoffs like he'd played for years in the National Hockey League, playing against the team that's scored the most goals in the regular season. He handled himself very well. Nuti Vaara got benched, but then got back and was like an impact guy when we got him back into the lineup. You know, we talked about Zach and Seth all year long. Wenberg, you know, probably wasn't at his best in the playoffs, but at the same time, he took a huge step from a year ago to this year. No reason why he can't take another step or two going into next and years beyond. So I think there's so many different elements of our team that are going to get better that it makes me excited.
I'm wondering about the exit meetings. Is it were you encouraged by the way they walked into your office and the message received by you? And were there any surprises? Were there any kids that you kind of like, wow, that's some good comments out of the young player?
Well, the thing that we're looking for is a good, honest self-evaluation where we can feel that the guys took a look in the mirror first, and there's not a finger pointing. There's none of that where guys are pointing fingers at each other or somebody else. They're first looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do better to be more important for this team? How can I improve my input and make this team better? And it was very good that way. I felt that a lot of the guys and all of the guys had taken a look in the mirror, honest look in the mirror, and they're first. And that's the starting point we always need, and I think we have it.
This team that you took to the playoffs, at the trade deadline, you didn't make many moves. Just a couple of things to kind of fortify what you had. Now that you were in that series, does it give you a much better idea of what you really have and what you really need to do to make it better?
Yeah. Like I said, I think you need to be at your best when it counts the most, which is the playoffs. And we ran into a very good team, a team that very efficiently used their opportunities to score and put the games away when they had them. I feel that we outchanced them in four out of five games, outpossessed them, you know, the analytics, if you want to call it, and played well against a really good team, but ended up losing the series 4-1. you know, we just got to dig in deep and you know, analyze all those things, move forward with good learning experience, and be better for it next year.
What the regular season this year? It seemed like you had success, you had the guys go through a lot of great things, but were there any moments where you thought that, you know, there were some struggles and this is going to be good for us down the future? I mean,
I think the stretch in the just before the playoffs started, we never lost more than two games in a row all year in the regular season. Then all of a sudden we lost six in a row. It's tough when you don't have anything really to play for. We made the playoffs. We pretty much solidified our spot and knew that at some point in that losing streak, knew earlier that we weren't going to get home ice. Sort of lost the hope of the President's Trophy against Washington when we played them head-to-head. And those are tough situations. We've seen that in situations where we've been out of the playoffs. It's really tough to motivate the team to be at their best when you don't have any hope. Well, it was similar to that, but obviously better because we had already made the playoffs. But I think there were a lot of great things about our season as far, you know, the winning streak. There were a lot of games where it felt like it was a high pressure, almost like a playoff atmosphere. The game in Minnesota, New Year's Eve, where both teams had gone through a big streak of winning, and then who's going to keep the streak on, and we kind of willed our way through it. Even the game that broke our streak in Washington, I thought we came out of the gate really well and looked like we're going to win that game, and then, you know, things didn't go as planned, but you know, there were a lot of games in that streak where we just willed our way through and found a way to win, and that was a real good learning experience for our guys too. The consistency where we didn't lose more than two games all year, I thought was great for our group to be able to always bounce back from a loss and get back on winning ways. The depth and the balance of our team, I think, was good all year. I think that we saw with the type of depth that we have on defense with these young players in our system that the future is really good. So a lot of positives.
Speaking of that, sorry, Bob. Last year you had a team in Cleveland, you went and watched them and you hoped that they were going to do even a glimpse of what they did, winning the whole thing. And there was players you thought maybe could come in. The situation you're in now, is there players you look to? Is there possibilities kind of in the cupboards, if you will, that for next year in this organization?
Yeah, and you know, even to take it a little bit further, last year when we watched them in the playoffs, we were convinced that some guys are going to make our team, and not only make our team, but make our team better. Did Zach Werenski surprise us a little bit? Yeah, I think that, you know, 47 points in the regular season, your first year as a defenseman, I don't think anybody can say that, okay, that's going to happen with 100% confidence. You can think that. You're probably not going to say it out loud. We thought with the way he dominated in the playoffs that he would be an impact player on our team. Josh Anderson probably exceeded the expectations a little bit, but we've seen his tremendous potential all the time and kind of waited for that breakthrough. Sed Lak's been keeping, you know, he keeps getting better every year. Oliver Bjorkstrand, we thought he'd make the type of impact right off the bat this year that he did mid-season when he came back. There are a lot of good players. We signed the free agent Sam Vigneault, who went into Cleveland, played very well. Justin Scott, Jordan Mileta, guys that we signed from junior free agency the year before, took big strides this year as far as the prospects. Big, strong guys down the middle that are going to give us good center depth and possibly guys who will push for spots next year. Vitaly Abramov, most valuable player in the Quebec League and the leading scorer of that league, came into the American League at the end of the year and scored more than a point a game in the games that he played. Was a great addition to that team and is an exciting player to watch. Pierre-Luc Dubois wasn't quite ready last year in the training camp, but he's been playing great now when it counts the most in the Quebec League playoffs. And you know, Turcotte and Colas are playing against each other in the conference finals in the Western League and doing great. Turcotte had four assists last game, Colas are goal and assist. I think Colas has 2 points per game in the playoffs, 20 points in 10 games. And those are exciting things for the future of our organization. Kevin Stenlund is playing in the Swedish League Finals right now and making an impact, had a goal and assist last game. He's a 6'4" right-handed centerman. So there are a lot of good young players. You can always project, and that's what we do every day. But at the same time, it's the mental hurdle that, that seems like is the biggest hurdle sometimes for young guys to take. And I think like Oliver Bjorkstrand, he had to take that mental step more than anything to be able to be a player in the NHL level consistently and make an impact here, because we'd seen glimpses of it, then he wasn't quite ready, and then he came back and now he was. And you know, so that's the hardest part to project, is he mentally ready when we feel that he does have the skills, he does have the speed, strength, all those things, but here he might not quite be ready.
One last thing for you. It's a unique summer, because before you add players in the draft, you're going to lose a player in the expansion draft. And a good player, potentially, a young player. How does that impact your summer? What kind of discussions do you have to try to, I don't know if you can kind of limit who you lose, but what will you do to try to control that as much as you can?
Well, those kind of conversations have been going on for a while with George McPhee and the Las Vegas team. So they're ongoing. We're going to get towards the expansion draft. We'll do the best we can we're going to lose a good player. There's no way around it. We're going to do the best we can to protect the assets we have and have the best possible team on the ice for the Columbus Blue Jackets come next year. But unfortunately, we're going to lose one player, and there's no way around it.
Yarmo, thank you very much for taking the time. Good luck on your travels, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That is Yarmo Kekäläinen, Blue Jackets general manager. Jody Shelley and I will be back up. We'll be back to wrap up the Inside Edge for the season right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Ready to go down the home stretch here on the Inside Edge.
New Bob McGilligan
and Jody Shelley. Yeah, we haven't had that one before, huh?
Way to go, Michael.
Michael Young, our producer, pulling out some new tunes on the last day.
Thanks, Michael. You know what? It's been a great year with
you. It has.
You've been phenomenal. Behind the scenes. Speaking of behind the scenes, Ed Milliken, longtime TV producer, great guy in the National Hockey League, 44 years producing television, or working in the business, we'll say. He started running ticker tape, he tells us, back in the 80s. He's retiring from the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's been here 10 years. And we're going to be sad to see him go. He's been a great guy to travel with and easy to get along with, does an excellent job. He just comes to work and does a job, even though we tease him that his routine is exact same every single day. We're going to miss you, Eddie.
That is true. That's very true. You know what I'm going to miss the most is those rides to and from the airport when I know what he's going to say.
Okay, give us an example.
I love being the button pusher, right? Love being that
You're
guy.
Good at it.
Because when George Matthews was here, and we were in Dallas, and we used to pass Mockingbird Lane.
Hey, big fella.
We'd pass Mockingbird Lane on the way to the hotel every time. And every time, Eddie would go, George, who lives on Mockingbird Way? And George would say, oh, big fella, I know you've told me before, but I can't remember it. Mary Poppins, George, come on. And then one year somebody said, you know, the Munsters also live. And then he was thrown for a loop. So that was fun. Yeah.
But it's just, the conversations.
And we've never seen the monkey tree in Vancouver. We've never seen the monkey tree. It's the rite of passage. We're driving in. We ask Eddie where it is. He talks like he knows, but we've never seen this particular tree that he talks about.
Right.
And, so now we'll always talk about it. And we'll say, well, if Eddie was here, we would ask him and he wouldn't know.
I still think one of our favorites is, because every drive from the airport is about 20 minutes, right? We land, right. The team bus is loaded with the players and management and coaches, and there's like six of us on there, and it goes quiet for about 3 minutes, and then Eddie would always take over with the conversation. Land in Edmonton, it's about 30 minutes to downtown, maybe 35 minutes to downtown.
Feels Edmonton. Like an hour 10.
Yeah, but you land, the first thing Eddie says, hey, driver, you got a crack in your windshield? Yes, I do. He said, there you go. Everyone in Canada, everyone in Alberta has a crack in their windshield. And yes. I'll tell you what, he's been right so far.
Yes.
And the other thing is he says, you know, when we land at the Edmonton Airport, you know, we're actually closer to Calgary than we are.
Red Deer.
We are Edmonton right now. And Red Deer is what? Another hour and 20 minutes.
That turned into a heated debate once.
Yeah, Jeff got really upset at that one because Jeff lived in Edmonton, Calgary.
That was my favorite ride, actually.
You love that.
That was the fastest 35-minute ride ever, listening to that argument.
No, and then the other thing is Ken Hitchcock used to work at that bicycle shop on Calgary Trail North on the left-hand side, and every time two would say, hey, Eddie, Eddie would say, hey, Jeff, where did Hitchcock used to work? And Jeff would say, oh, right there, Eddie on the left. It was like clockwork.
And if nobody brought it up, I would. And then Brian Filippetti, our director, would get mad. I just love hearing a, hey, Eddie, where? And you could hear, oh. Oh.
Well, you know what? You got to carry those shoes for Eddie next
year. Yeah.
All season.
I guess. We will miss Ed Milliken. He was a true pro and a great guy to have around, and we will miss him. Vancouver's named a coach now, right? Travis Green has gotten
I didn't know that.
That job. John Stevens has gone in Los Angeles, so you got the Buffalo Sabres looking, the Florida Panthers
promoted.
Looking. I got a call today. Somebody told me that Brad Larsen has been, I don't know how involved in conversations, but the name's bounced around out there, so good for him.
Wow, good for him is right.
John Tortorella threw his name around a lot early in the year.
Yeah, he did.
And so maybe that stuck a little bit, and that's kind of the next step for those guys too is get some traction,
absolutely.
Get some traction, get talked about.
Listen, that's what they want to do. They want to have run their own ship. Larsen was the head coach in Cleveland before he got here to be an assistant. Luke Richardson, I know, was a head coach in the American Hockey League. We remember Luke, former alumni, and he had an opportunity at a couple assistant coaching jobs when he didn't get the offer in Ottawa. And he said, no, I want to be a head coach. So he chose, he's not coaching right now. He's doing some international stuff here and there. But head coach is what they want to be ultimately. So when you do take that assistant, when things do come up, yeah, the organizations let them go and try to achieve that, like Bednar last year.
Right, absolutely. All right, we're in our final minute of our final show of the year. It's been a lot of fun.
Where did it go? Yeah.
I know. It's been so much fun. And this year it was even extra fun. But I'm going to ask you what I asked Boone. Is there a standout moment for you this year?
You know, for me, the standout moment...
You got 35 seconds.
I was worried after they went 0-2. I really was. But I think that Chicago win at home and then Dallas the next night, that to me made it kicked off our season. And I think from there it rolled. But I would say, the first win at home.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point because then we went to California,
no,
won a couple
great.
Of games, and the whole mood changed.
Got some sun.
Instead of, are we ever going to get a win?
We were worried. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Because you look at the schedule,
got 500,
like,
baby.
Not Chicago, not Dallas, not San Jose, not LA, not Anaheim. Well, that's eight or seven, anyways.
Well, that's going to do it for the Inside Edge. Thank you so much for being there all year, Jody, Shelley, and I. Very, very much appreciate it. And of course, we'll talk to you throughout the summer at BlueJackets.com. I'm Bob McElligott saying so long on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligott.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Lodge with us. Brought to you by Ohio Health, Nationwide Insurance, Eldorado Scioto Downs, and Huntington.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.